Again, it is my great joy and privilege to come to you wherever you are. I'm ever amazed as I read this book through at the simple, clear revelation of the person of Jesus Christ, God's beloved Son. The more I read of it, the more I look into it, the more I realize if Jesus Christ is not God manifest in the flesh, then we have no revelation of God to men. I say this very bluntly. I say it very clearly. How can we know God apart from Jesus Christ? Sometimes people tell me that they do not believe in Jesus, but they do believe in God. And I generally ask one of two questions. One is, do you worship him? And more than often they say, we don't know how. And the second thing is, how do you know that God lives? How do you know that he has any interest in you? What hope do you have? What prospects do you have? What about eternity? What about after death? Whether you believe it or not, my friend, you must stand in the presence of a living, holy, righteous, eternal God, a sovereign God, who works all things out after the counsel of his own will. And even though men may say they don't believe, some claim they're atheistic, there is no God. And it's an amazing revelation for them, because they must stand in the presence of Jesus Christ, God's Son. They're going to hear him say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. I tell you, my friend, when I read the seventh chapter of John, which we've been reading, and see how Jesus approached these religious Jews, these people who boasted of their knowledge of God, and Jesus said, you don't know him. It's an empty boast. You don't know him. If you knew him, you'd believe in me. For my Father sent me. As I said in the preceding lesson, over 40 times in John's Gospel, our Lord speaks of the fact that he came from heaven, that his message is from heaven, that he was sent from heaven on a mission. He was going back to heaven. And in the verses before us today, he's going to send the Holy Spirit from heaven. Let me read it. Verse 37 of John chapter 7. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given. Why? Because Jesus was not yet glorified. Allow me again to repeat what I said in our last lesson. The Feast of Tabernacles had 8 days, and the 8th day was the great day of the feast. For the preceding 7 days, the priests had gone down to the pool of Siloam and had brought back water from the pool in their silver pitchers, and then when they came to the temple, they poured it out as a drink offering before God. And on the way, the priests and the people would quote from the 103rd Psalm, and then from 105 through 118. And they sang, of course, of the history of how God had delivered them out of Egypt, crossed the Red Sea, how he fed them on manna, how the rock was smitten, so the water, life-giving water, came forth. So their minds were full of the book of Exodus from chapters 12 through 18. They were full of the text. They rejoiced in this. They reveled in this. Now just think of the contrast. Jesus stood up that last great day of the feast, and he shouted out, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Holy Spirit. Now, with their minds occupied with how God watered the whole nation of Israel because they were thirsty, they cried unto Moses. In fact, they were so full of opposition and murmuring, that Moses cried unto God. And I think he cried in desperation. These people are ready to kill me. And take the rod of God and smite the rock, and it will give forth its water. It's chapter 17 of Exodus. Now Jesus said, to his generation, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This speak he of a spirit. Listen, friend, there must be a move on your part to come to him. He is always willing. In fact, he has never yet turned anybody down who ever came to him and wanted life eternal, wanted salvation, wanted forgiveness, wanted to be made fit to come into the presence of God and live forever in the presence of the glory of the omnipotent God. He says, come unto me. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise, under any consideration, turn him away. See? And Jesus here is not sitting now as a teacher. He stood up and proclaimed and shouted it out, if any man thirst. Now, most people are thirsty for something. Just like the woman, as I said, the woman at the well in chapter 4, she wanted water. And the Lord Jesus said, I'll give you living water. And most people today in America are looking for wealth. They're hunting for pleasure. Some are looking for position. Some want honor. Some want to be recognized. Some are drunk with power and want power at any cost. But none of it is spiritual. It's an empty, passing thing. Are you thirsty for that which is eternal, for that which satisfies, that which is spiritual? Then he invites you. Notice, please, he invites just one kind of people. If any man thirst, are you thirsty? He's talking to you then. If any man thirst, let him come to me. He is the fountain of life, abundant life, eternal life, satisfying life, and he invites people to come and drink. It's a call to thirsty people. It's an open invitation to any man, any woman. If you're thirsty, he's talking to you. Do you want pardon? Do you want forgiveness? Do you want to be cleansed from your sins? Do you have any need? Are you thirsty for something that's real, that's eternal, that satisfies? It's to you, Jesus says, come unto me. Why don't you come? I remember a university man, while I was speaking at a conference, a university conference, this fellow came over to the little cabin where I was, and we talked for a while. And I said to him, why don't you come? Jesus says, come. Are you thirsty? The fellow was really thirsty for reality. He said, how do I know it's real? Well, Jesus said, come. He'll prove to you it's real. Of course it's real. He's the one that can transform sinners into saints. He's the one that can take commercial fishermen and transform them into flaming evangelists of the gospel. He can take men who are dead in sins and make them alive. He can take children of wrath and transform them into children of God. He just says one word, come. Come. Do you remember one time he said that to Peter? When Peter saw the Lord walking on the water, he said, Lord, bid me come to you. Jesus just said one word, come. Come. The Lord didn't think it was foolhardy for Peter to step out of the boat. He just said, come. He met Peter's need. He met my need. One day I heard Jesus say, come. I came. And he's satisfied. Am I talking to you, friend? It may be you're religious. It may be you've tried everything under heaven. You've tried to be good. You've tried to keep the law. You've gone through certain ceremonies. You've joined a church. My, you've tried awfully hard to be good. You're not satisfied. Not satisfied. Why? Why not come to him? He says, come. Come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, not as Martin Luther said, or Charles Wesley, or John G. Mitchell. He that cometh to me and believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This speak he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. Can I just stop here a minute? Who else could say a thing like this but Jesus? And out of your belly shall flow rivers. Not a trickle, but rivers of living water. This speak he of the Spirit, that they which believe on him should receive. The Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Do you remember one time he talked, and I'm quoting from Luke 11, he said to his disciples, "My heavenly Father will give the Spirit to them that ask him." We have no record they ever asked for it. But Jesus said in John 14 and 15 and 16 and so on, "I will pray the Father, and he will give you another Comforter, whom I will send to you from the Father." The Spirit was not yet given because he was not yet glorified. And the very coming of the Spirit of God to indwell his people, by the way, is a wonderful testimony of the fact that our Savior is alive. And he's exalted to God's right hand to be a Prince and a Savior. And when he was exalted and given the place of preeminence, now he can send the Spirit of God to everyone who will put their trust in him, and they shall flow out of your very innermost beings. And I said again, not a trickle. Rivers of living water, this speak he of the Spirit. You remember in John chapter 14, our Lord said to the disciples, "The Spirit of God is with you, but he shall be in you." That's in verse 15. You find it also in chapter 15, 26. At the very end of chapter 15, he mentions it again. In chapter 16, verse 7, and verses 13 to 15, our Lord again promises the Spirit of God, whom he will send to indwell every believer. Do you mean everyone who puts their trust in Jesus becomes the recipient of the Spirit of God? Why, of course. In Romans chapter 8, verse 9 and verse 11, the Apostle Paul wrote, "You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of Christ dwell in you." The Spirit of God dwell in you. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Verse 11. If the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, where Paul wrote, "Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which you have of God, and you are not your own, you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your bodies and in your spirits, which are God's." Now this is true of every believer in Christ. I want to emphasize that there are some people who believe that a person can be saved and not have the Holy Spirit. If that's your doctrine, my friend, it's contrary to what Jesus said. Jesus here said, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This speak he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive." The Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. And as Paul could write, "If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." I repeat it, this is true of all believers. Don't you know that your body is the very sanctuary of God? Allow me to quote from the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 66. Do you remember that amazing chapter where the prophet writes, "The heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where will you build a house that I may find my rest? For all these things have my hands made. But to this man will I look." Now mark what he has just said. God is saying, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. When Solomon built the temple, you remember, in his great dedicatory prayer in Second Chronicles, do you remember what Solomon said? The heaven of heavens can't contain thee, much less this house which I have made. Man cannot make a house of stone, of wood, to contain God. The heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where will you build a house where I may find my rest, saith the Lord? Now if we stop there, it would be not good for us. In fact, if he stopped there, you knew that he hadn't finished what he wanted to say. Because the next verse says, though you can't build a house for me where I can find my rest, but to this man will I look, to him that's humble and of a contrite heart and that trembleth at my word. Did you hear it? Now let me pick up Jesus' words. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This speak he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. The Holy Spirit was not yet given because he was not yet glorified. Jesus was saying two things. He is saying, first of all, I am the one that's going to fulfill the book of Joel, chapter 2, when God's going to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. I'm the one who's going to do that. Secondly, the individual believer today can receive the Spirit from the one who's going to send the Spirit. Now, I'm talking to you, my friend, if you've accepted the Savior, he not only forgives you your sin and makes you his child and gives you eternal life, but he comes to live in you so that something of the character and the life and the heart and the compassion and love of God will be made known through you to others. This is what Paul uses to urge the Corinthian church to live for God, to live pure, holy lives for God. And I would use it again today for you. There are some people, some Christians, who are living loose lives. They call it liberty. It's not liberty. It's license. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, lives in every believer. He expects us to live holy lives, to show forth something of the character and the love and the grace of the heart of God for men and women. Oh, friend, Christian friend, will you please notice, having accepted the Savior, your body has become the sanctuary of God. And he expects you and me to show something of the fragrance and sweetness and beauty of Christ in our everyday living, in our words, in our actions, in all that we are and do. Now let me finish the chapter from verse 40 right on down through to verse 44. The people are still perplexed. I've already mentioned that. So I won't go any further. Some say he's a prophet, some say he's not. There was a division because of him. Now verse 45. Then came the officers, the policemen, to the chief priests and Pharisees and said, and they said to them, why didn't you bring him? We sent you to bring him. Why didn't you bring him? And the officers answered, never man spake like this man. These men went to arrest Jesus. Instead of that, he arrested them with his words. And they said, never man spake like this man. How right they were. No one ever spoke like Jesus. Of course not. It was God who was speaking. And the Son was giving the word of God. He, being the living word, was giving us the spoken word. And no wonder these policemen said, never man spake like this man. Nobody ever talked like Jesus. Why don't you read, my friend, what he has said? Why don't you take your Bible and read the first four books in the New Testament? Read what Jesus said. Never man spake like this man. Then the Pharisees said, are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Now notice Nicodemus, the one of whom we read in chapter 3, he said to them, doth our law judge any man before it hear him, and knoweth what he saith, and what he doeth? They answered and said to him, are you also of Galilee? And I think they speak this kind of sarcastically to Nicodemus. Are you also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. You know, if they had searched and looked, they would have found there were some prophets from Galilee. Did you know that? Where do you think Jonah came from? The son of Amittai. He came from Gathsepha. Where's Gathsepha? Oh, 3 or 4 miles from Cana in Galilee. About 3 or 4 miles from Cana in Galilee. Jonah was from Galilee, and he prophesied in Nineveh, that great city. Another one came from Galilee, Nahum. To whom did he prophesy? People of Nineveh, the capital of Assyria, and he prophesied its destruction. And when these Pharisees, who claimed to know so much about the Bible, said to Nicodemus, "Are you a Galilean? Are you from Galilee? Don't you know? No prophet ever came out of Galilee." But there were two, Jonah and Nahum. There are none so blind as those who refuse to see. And my friend, if you really want to know the truth, I tell you very frankly, God is waiting with arms outstretched to receive you and to reveal to you the truth. And let me close. Jesus said, "If any man thirst, if you're thirsty, he's calling you to come to him and drink. And he will satisfy the very longing of your heart. Why don't you come unto him and drink, and the Lord bless you."